Link, Co asked if I could email him, besides the document, the link to our agency website where we could, where he could find that information as well. Leslie.
Yes, that'd be good information to share with teachers of students with visual impairments across the state, so not just specific to Lincoln. Yeah. So if you could share that with me, Carol, then we could help disseminate that through NCECDVI as well.
Okay. And Leslie was saying that if I email her the same document, she can distribute it through NCECBVI, and I can do that, okay. Leslie.
I have another question.
Okay.
Can you explain how this affects differently students who are 14 to 21 who might be receiving pre-employment transition services opposed to students who are maybe adults? Is there a difference, or just kind of how that works? So,
Leslie's question was if there's a difference between students who are 14 to 21 who would meet that pre-employment transition services age requirement versus other clients, other consumers who are adults. And so with the pre-employment transition services, those students after March 1st who apply for services have to go through the potentially eligible case type first to receive pre-employment transition services. They can then apply for VR services, have eligibility determined, and still receive those pre-employment transition services. If they don't receive any pre-employment transition services, the pre-up services, prior to having eligibility determined, they're on the wait list and they can't receive any services, if that makes sense. Otherwise, if it's just a VR consumer who wants to apply for services, they will be put on a wait list based on application date, first come, first serve. So pre-ets, it's only those five services that they could receive and not any of the other VR services. Thank you, Steph.
Okay, why don't we go to another office and then Lincoln maybe can wait for now. Any other office have a question? Can you ask that, Carol?
Is everybody muted, Julie?
I thought I muted everybody.
Okay, so we'll go to Omaha office next.
If not, we just go.
I don't think we
no.
Have
nope.
Questions.
Okay.
Norfolk?
No, we don't have any questions.
Okay. Carney?
No, we did not.
Okay. North Platte? Aaron?
No.
Okay, is that a no?
Shake your head yes or no.
It's a no.
Okay.
No, okay.
Nope.
And then Scotts Bluff?
No.
Okay.
Carol, I have a follow-up.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so it's still not, to some of us, it's still not clear about the pre-ets, how that works and what sort of services they could receive. So I'm going to make a quick statement here. You correct me.
Okay.
So if you are of age where you qualify for pre-ed services, you are able to sign up and receive those services. If you also sign up to receive VR services, if you have not received any pre-ed services prior to your determination for VR services, you will not be able, you'll just be in the waiting list. You will not be able to receive any pre-et services until your VR case comes to the, goes through the order of selection.
That is correct.
Okay. So it is for clients that are of pre-et services age, it is advantageous to receive some pre-et service prior to going in, prior to applying to be a VR client. That way, even though they're in order of selection for their VR caseload or for their VR case, they can continue to receive pre-et services while they're waiting.
Correct.
Does that help?
Did you guys all hear that on the phone? Mike's?
Mike was restating and explaining how to receive pre-et services when you're waitlisted, pretty much.
If you could explain the difference between potentially eligible and eligible for the audience, I guess.
Okay.
Sometimes that's confusing.
Carlos wants me to explain the difference between potentially eligible and eligible.
That is only applicable for pre-ets.
For pre-ets, yes. So a student with a disability who's between the age of 14 and 21 could qualify for pre-employment transition services. And there's 5 required pre-ed services. It's job exploration, post-secondary education, work-based learning experiences, workplace readiness training, and then self-advocacy. Thanks. If you are potentially eligible, that means you have a visual impairment of some sort to where you, in theory, could be eligible to receive services from our agency, those pre-ed services. You are potentially eligible because eligibility has not been determined. So once you apply for VR services and eligibility is determined, that's the difference. So if you don't receive those one of those five pre-et services before eligibility is determined, you can't continue to receive them once your eligibility has been determined and you're waitlisted.
Did that help, Carlos?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it helps them, I know the difference. Yeah. Any other question from Lincoln before we go around?
Oh,
okay,
hang
on.
Go ahead. Name first?
Garrett Brown.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask if any of these changes would affect the services I would receive back down in North Carolina.
Okay, so Garrett was asking if these changes would affect services that he's receiving here in Nebraska, even though he's a North Carolina consumer. And the answer, Garrett, is no, because North Carolina is paying for you to be receiving training here.
Okay.
Chris?
Thanks. Christine Boone, and may I just want to ask for a clarification, if I may. When Carlos was speaking, he told us that if this agency does not go on order of selection, it will run out of money before the end of the fiscal year. However, we're not using 3 categories in order of selection, but we're going to serve everyone, basically first in time, first in right. So does that mean that the agency will take the pot of money for the rest of this fiscal year and divide it up for the remainder of this second quarter and the third quarter and the fourth quarter and only release so much money in each quarter so that even if you apply right now, if the money for this quarter is all spent, you'll be waitlisted potentially until the next quarter's funds are released.
Let me get there, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, careful. No, there's a cord.
Here, I'll just scoot the laptop.
Yeah.
If you talk loud, they should hear you. Just talk.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. What I said, Chris, was if we don't get into order of selection by March 1st, by the end of the year, we will run out of money because what happened is we still have some carryover for this year. So we do have projected enough funds to serve whoever qualifies for the rest of the year. So that's why we are closing all categories, and we will not open them until we look at the numbers again. Does that answer your question?
So, Carlos, I'm sorry, Chris. That doesn't answer it for me. At least it's not what I recall you saying in our board meeting. If I understand what's happening correctly, when you say we're closing the categories, that means we are not accepting any new clients starting March 1st, providing order selection begins. At that point in time, we will continue to serve the clients that have already been accepted, that are already part of the program.
Correct.
Each quarter, the senior leadership team will evaluate how many slots the agency can afford to open to new clients.
Correct.
Okay, that's exactly what I said.
And then that will allow, if it was six, if it happened, for example, to be six slots, mm-hmm. the next six people on the wait list will be accepted in. And as far as funding, as far as money that is spent on those clients, you're not limiting the amount of money that can be spent on a client, but you are maybe being a little more conservative than you might have been in the past. Is that correct?
Yes. Let me expand some of that. In order to get into order of selection, we are also supposed to implement more restricted policies about expenditures, being more conservative. So that, yes, that answered that part of your question. I also want to clarify that when I said we were going to take a look at the new numbers every quarter, I mean after the end of this fiscal year. Because again, we will have enough funds only until the end of this fiscal year. And then after that, that's when we are going to be evaluating it. But we need to get into order of selection by March 1st. And then we will have enough funds to serve the clients who will have a case open. But then we are not going to open new cases until the end of the federal fiscal year.
Mike Hansen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so to clarify, because this is one of those lovely things where we have two fiscal years. So if we go into order of selection on March 1st, we will close the agency to new cases until the next fiscal year. Are you saying that would be October 1st or January 1st?
October 1st.
Okay. So we will not accept any new cases until October 1st. Anybody applying will just go on the wait list. And on October 1st, you will evaluate how many new cases you could accept at that time.
Yes, but just to clarify the language, the cases, they apply and then we have to make them eligible. Once we make them eligible, they are into order of selection. They are in the waiting list.
Okay.
Okay,
so, sorry. So you're saying that you will evaluate how much money is available on October 1st of this year, 2019?
Correct.
So between March 1st and October 1st, anyone who calls the agency or comes by and wants services will be permitted to apply for services, and they will be determined eligible or not.
Correct.
If they're determined eligible, then they will wait. At that point, they will wait.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for all those questions. Do the rest of the offices here
state fiscal year end.
The questions?
We're hearing it okay.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was smart to move. I'm sorry, was somebody asking or making a comment?
Connie was saying that they're hearing okay.
Okay, any other question? Or comment?
You said potentially eligible students.
Mark Bolger has a
question. That's,
hang on, Nancy.
So let's say that we have IEP, the student has multi-handicap condition. That's a primary, what we call in the LPS. But this student also has a visual impairment. That would be a potentially eligible students.
Yes, any, I don't know if you...
Repeat the question for the rest of the room.
Co had a question about potentially eligible. And Co, it's any student who has a visual impairment.
And primary or not.
It doesn't matter if it's primary, because our agency is the primary serving agency for any consumer with a visual impairment, regardless of their other disabilities. Does that help?
Yeah, just wanted to clarify.
Okay. And Mark Bolger has a question.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Yes, hey. I have just a question. Order of Schweigmann will not be older blind.
I got it. Mark's question was the order of selection. You know, is it impacting the older blind population and stuff? And order of selection is only for VR funds. OIB is a different pot of money. IL, independent living, is a different pot of money. So the answer is no, Mark, it wouldn't.
Any other question or comment? Not in Lincoln. Anything else from the other offices?
Leslie Wagner again. I'm full of lots of questions.
Please, this is the time.
Okay, so students like...
I must be hearing impaired too, because I can't even damn see.
Like students kind of like Co was talking about in regards to students with multiple disabilities but also vision impairments might be also applying to get adult disability funds to go to, say, an adult provider or something, and they're required to get some services from VR, in this case, the commission. So they will still be able to get those services required in order for them to access DV funding.
Right. Okay, Leslie was asking, for those clients who have a developmental disability where they have to go through VR services to continue receiving their DD services, will order of selection impact them? And yes, it will. DD doesn't give you any, you know, exception to the wait list. Those particular clients could still receive, you know, their DD services, like their day services and stuff, but they would be waitlisted to receive any type of pre-vocational services.
Because we pay them.
And Angie from DD is here, and so I'm going to have her help me clarify if the DD side of that wasn't correct.
It kind of was correct.
Okay.
And hopefully everybody can hear me on the microphone. For the student who is transitioning out of school and wants to apply for the adult VR through you guys, through the VR services. They don't have to have VR services in order to have their DD adult day waiver services. What it means is for this is if they apply and they're waitlisted for you, it'll determine if they're eligible or not eligible. If they're eligible, they cannot access like the supported employment piece of it. Okay, if they're ineligible, or I like to refer it as not quite ready for competitive integrated employment, they can then work on those skills that made them ineligible in pre-voc, or it could be in an enclave situation. Okay?
Does that help, Leslie?
So if someone has a developmental disability and they want to work, They have to wait till they're through the waitlist process, right?
Correct.
Yes.
So. Before they can access their budget to purchase, I don't need to be yelling at you, but I'm trying to yell over there. of any of the supported employment, and it would be individual or follow along if they do need that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Leslie's, I don't know if you heard, but Leslie's question was if there was a student who wanted to work, would they be, you know, waitlisted in order to receive those services? And Angie said yes.
For the employment.
For the employment piece, sorry.
Yeah, they can still access, like, the adult day, habilitative community inclusion, workshop, those codes are what they can, those services.
Okay. Yeah, they can still get the other DD services. It's just the employment piece that would be affected.
Okay, any other questions? Going once? Okay, I think if I don't hear any more questions, the public meeting is over. I'm going to stay around here in case people want to talk to me about other issues.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for all your support. Coming here means a lot of support for us and your understanding too, okay? Thanks for all your feedback. As you know, this many of you, we did change some of the procedures because of your input, so we do appreciate that.
Kathy, Stephanie Baldwin joined us for the public meeting for your...
Angie, did you have a few people join you afterwards too?
I did. I've got two more and another one that thought it started at 10. So he'll be actually coming in.
Do you want to just put him in the chat window for me? Do you have access to that, Angie?
I can try.